I'll just say amen to that message. Wasn't that encouraging? From Mark chapter 8. Thank the Lord for that sermon tonight. I hope all of you were blessed to receive it. You know, he mentioned that he hesitated to preach on it, I guess, because your son, who's here tonight, was there this morning and heard it. Preachers' wives have to hear the same message over and over a lot. But you know, repetition is the mother of teaching. How many times did you have to teach your children to tie their shoes before they got it? Many times. Some of us are slow learners. What about the ABCs? Did you get it the first time your teacher taught you the ABCs? I was a slow learner. It took me a long time to... Those big letters over the blackboard, that was all mysterious to me. But I finally got it through repetition. Riding a bicycle, takes a while to learn how to ride a bicycle. Repetition, over and over and over. Learning to talk, learning to walk, it takes time, it takes repetition. So when it comes to the Word of God, We see a little here, we see a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, the Bible says. And that's really why we need to be in church every opportunity we get, because hopefully we're going to learn something. We're going to hear something that we've heard before. A text that Brother Sonny Piles used to love to quote was that the scribe would reach into his master's storehouse things both new and old. The old being things that we're very familiar with, but we need to hear them again and again. And something new, not a new doctrine. We don't need any new doctrine in the church, but we do need new illustrations, new ways of explaining things. We wouldn't want to hear the same sermon every Sunday. So ministers need to study. I want to notice with you a passage that came to my mind while Brother Wynn was preaching to us from the Apostle Peter's letter, 2 Peter chapter 1. He would say in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this body, this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." You just keep hearing it over and over, and the more you hear it, the deeper it goes into your understanding. This morning I tried to preach on a subject that I hope you've heard preached on many times, and that's the love of God. And hopefully you're not tired about hearing about that, but every time we hear it, hopefully it is giving us better understanding. The Apostle Paul wrote the young preacher Timothy and said to him, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding." You and I need to pay attention to what is being said and then trust that the Lord will give us understanding. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. And I thought about this text, Brother Wynn, in relationship to physical blindness. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and in verse 16, he says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So here is Paul praying for the church. And by the way, I have never found in all of Paul's prayers that are recorded for us in the New Testament where he prayed for anybody to have a better house to live in, or better clothes to wear, or a better donkey to ride. Have y'all ever found that? Now, I'm sure Paul wanted the brethren and sisters to have the necessities of life, but when he prayed, he got down to the real needs in our lives, our spiritual blessings. Now listen to what he says. We come down to verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Listen to that. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Paul is wanting the church at Ephesus to be able to see more and more about their God, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. See, we have natural eyes that help us to see in nature, but we have spiritual eyes. And we need our spiritual eyes enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Tonight, as our brother was preaching to us from Mark chapter 8, I tell you, it certainly enlightened me on that subject. I'd never seen all that before, how these people brought this blind man to Jesus, and how Jesus healed him in a very unique way by spitting in his eyes. And he's God, and he can do it any way he wants. You know, he helps people through people, but a lot of times he just helps people directly by healing them. He certainly helped me through good doctors and nurses. And we thank God for doctors and nurses. I met a young man yesterday that has just finished college and he's been accepted to medical school. And I congratulated him for being a doctor. And I said, if you want a suggestion, I suggest you go into geriatrics. Because, people our age now, we're going to need doctors. I heard the other day in Georgia, there's over 10 million citizens of this in this state, and there's only 108,000 nurses. So that's 10 nurses for every 1,000 citizens. Nurses are stretched thin. Doctors are stretched thin. Nelda needed a doctor this morning. Thank God there was one in Cochrane. God helps people through people. And we want to give God the glory, but thank him for those who have committed their lives to serving people by being doctors and nurses and in other fields of labor. But sometimes God just reaches down and blesses us miraculously and directly. And we know he's able to do that. And we pray for that and trust him in that. So, yes, these people brought the blind man to Christ. Now, I want to go with you this evening to 2 Peter chapter 1 a moment where we were earlier. And notice some spiritual blindness that fell on some people. Peter would say in chapter 1 of 2 Peter in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The blindness the Apostle Peter is talking about here is not physical or natural blindness. He's talking about a blindness that can fall on one of God's children if they lack certain things in their lives. And what are those things? Well, in verse 5, he tells us to add to our faith virtue, that is courage and moral excellence, and add to our virtue knowledge of God and the Scriptures, and the knowledge temperance, that is, self-control, and the temperance patience. Patience will be a friend to you if you'll add it to your life, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Just learn to be kind to people. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That is, love for multitudes. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Now what kind of blindness is this? It's spiritual blindness. Paul was praying for the Ephesians that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And that would be my prayer for myself and for everybody here tonight and the members of the church where I try to pastor, that God would give you spiritual vision, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may be able to see spiritual truths. But what is it that these people are no longer going to be able to see? He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And I think what he's talking about there is heaven. See, if you've got spiritual vision, 20/20 spiritual vision, you can see away from this broken, dying world we're in to a land that is fairer than day, perfect. Heaven. How many of y'all can see that tonight? I was visiting with Brother Bob Lord a little earlier this evening before church, and I was telling him that I think his daughter Erica favors his grandmother, Ruby Barlow, whom I had the privilege of pastoring for a number of years down at Mount Horeb. Sister Ruby Barlow was one of the most excited, enthusiastic church members I've ever tried to pastor. She's sitting over there in the A-sister corner. And every service, she would select, "Won't it be wonderful there?" I want us to sing that tonight. Brother Donnie's not here tonight, but one of you brethren find that in the hymn book. Won't it be wonderful there? And she wasn't talking about going to the fair or going to the mountains or the beach. She was talking about going to heaven. And that's where she is tonight, you know, in her spirit. She's in glory. I wish y'all could have known her. Brother Bob knew her. His wife got to know her. She was a wonderful saint of God. She had 20/20 spiritual vision. She could just bring heaven into view. How many of y'all can see it tonight? Now, if you get spiritually blind, you won't be able to see afar off. I don't want to get in that shape. I don't. On this earth that we're in tonight, and Paul in the Hebrew letter would suggest that we are all in a wilderness. This earth is a wilderness. And families are scattering and dying, sad as it is. Families, children grow up, they go their separate ways. Moms and dads and grandparents get old and die. We are living in a broken, dying world. Aren't you glad tonight that you can by faith see another place? And it's just as real as this place is tonight and far more glorious. You don't want to lose your spiritual vision. Brother Ronnie asked us today to pray for his cataract surgery. I had it last year. It's a wonderful surgery. And my vision improved dramatically. Distance visions, 20/20. Wonderful. But a lot of God's children have spiritual cataracts. And they can't see afar off. They're just wrapped up in this broken, dying world. Well, Peter says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And now, not only is his eyesight getting bad, but his memory is going. He's forgotten something. You know what he's forgotten? That he was purged from his old sins. How many of y'all are thankful tonight that you know that 2,000 years ago, your Savior died for you on the cross and purged you, cleansed you from all your sins? And you're going to heaven when you die by the blood of Jesus. I said today that I sometimes feel like I'm getting a free trip in America because I never served in the military. But you talk about a free trip. We're all going to get one to glory. And it's already paid for by the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all know that? You know, transportation, flying can be expensive. Flying from here to Africa got to be very expensive. What about a trip from here to heaven? The third heaven. You reckon what that ticket would cost? It's already paid for. Jesus paid for it. But what if God just took away that knowledge and you went back into darkness and you were living in constant fear of dying and going to hell? Wouldn't that be horrible? I know what that's like. For about a year of my life, I was under a conviction of sin and thought if I died, surely hell would open up and receive me. But finally, God blessed me to hear the sweet gospel of grace. That Jesus loved me and died for me, and because of Him, I'm going to heaven. I want to tell you, I don't want to forget that. I don't want spiritual dementia. Do y'all? You don't want to forget that you've been purged from your old sins. So then listen to what he says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, the calling here is your calling from death and sin to life in Christ. And the election is being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. How can you make your calling and election sure? Not to God. It's sure to Him. He knows it. But you want to make it sure to yourself. You want to have blessed assurance. Don't y'all like that song? Isn't that what we just sung, Blessed Assurance, by Fanny Crosby? You know, she was blind naturally. But you talk about spiritual vision. We sing, I suspect there's 20 of her songs in this hymn book. She lived in the 1800s. She was blind in nature. But she had 20/20 vision spiritually. And you know, she said one time, she said, I'm really glad I can't see, because the first face I ever see will be the face of my Savior. She had spiritual vision. Make your call and election sure to you. You get blessed assurance. You know, we didn't choose ourselves. We didn't get ourselves saved. Jesus did it. But I want to tell you, you can make it sure to yourself. He gives you blessed assurance as you get closer and closer to Him. Thank you all for your attention. What is that number? 205. Number 205. Let's sing this tonight, Brother Bob, in memory of Sister Ruby. Y'all would have loved Sister Ruby Barlow. Brother Bob named one of his girls after her. And if there's anybody here tonight that would like to be a member of this church, we encourage you to come tonight and join our church, or the Lord's church, and be a part of the family through baptism. Thank you.